Tonight we're going to be studying a little bit from the subject of holiness, and it's a great subject. As a matter of fact, the more that I was considering it and thinking about it, the more I was becoming more and more appreciative of who God is, and of course all of us appreciate Him, and all of us are striving to be like Him. And so over 1,000 times in the Old Testament and New Testament, the idea and concept of holiness is in the scriptures. And that's a lot. And it tells us who our God is. And so when we consider the idea of holiness, I want us to hurriedly get into the scriptures because we have a lot of scriptures to look at on tonight. And I want us to be thinking through them, making an application. All right, and so let's begin at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, and I'm going to ask Brother Chad, if he doesn't mind, to begin our reading. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And I want us to be thinking about holiness from God's perspective, not necessarily from ours just yet, even though the scriptures that we're going to be reading are going to be for us as well. However, I want us to be thinking about holiness from God's perspective because there are different attributes that God has, and we're going to talk about some of those, but holiness is going to be the focal point. Brother Chad. 13 through 16.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hopefully upon the grace that is to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, as it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
Great. Now notice in verse number 15, look at verse number 15, but as He who called you is holy. God calls us, the one who calls us is holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? Of course, set apart. That's a basic definition, but nevertheless, it's a great definition. Set apart from what? Set apart from evil, from sin, from wickedness. And we can go on and on and on, but anything that is not aligned with God should not be in His presence. And so there are many attributes and characteristics that are described in the scriptures. God is one who is high, sits high, and He looks low. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. One of the things that makes God holy is His position. Okay? Psalm 113, verses 4 through 6. Kipton, are you ready? Psalm 113, verses 4 through 6. Now, I want us to listen to what's being said here, okay? And think about God's position and why He is holy. He's set apart. Why should we even listen to Him? Psalm 113, verses 4 through 6. What does the Bible say? Now, if you take notice of those scriptures, what are some things that stand out as it relates to the holiness of God in these verses? All right, He dwells on high. What else? He humbles Himself. Wow. Powerful concept right there. Now, God has to humble Himself. Why? To do what, according to the text? Friends, did you hear that? You see that? And I meant to say this before the class started. There are going to be some concepts that I don't expect our young people to understand because there are some concepts that I don't understand. And that's probably one of them. But I do know that's an awesome concept. Whatever it means, Brother Brian, it's an awesome concept. Here, the God of heaven has to humble himself. Now watch it. Just to behold what's going on down here where we are. That's an awesome concept. Now, that sets him apart all by himself. Because that's not us. As a matter of fact, we have to look up. As a matter of fact, when we think about looking at little insects, we probably have to get on the ground to see them. But God is so high, he's so holy, that he has to humble himself just to look at what's going on down here. What else do we see in the text that demonstrates his holiness? Yes. Yes. It's how high he is. It's how lofty he is. Okay? We're not talking about a regular being here. We're not talking about you and I. We're not talking about things that we make and create. We're talking about the God of heaven. Okay? What else do we see in the text? Yes. Great observation. All right. So when you consider the holiness of God, there is none like him. Some have a very flippant attitude toward God, as if he is on their level. The last thing you need is a child that believes they're on the same level as you are. That's the last thing you need. Okay. Brian, you had your hand up. No, but you want to go there, go ahead. Go ahead.
Man, that connects. You mentioned it there with man takes it so flippantly. God was in the flesh. Christ was here. He's 100% God.
That's right.
Philippians 2 is the text that really highlights the Psalm 13.
Right.
That highlights the humility. That highlights how Christ humbled himself before the Father, below the Father, but yet he's still 100% deity.
That's right.
In the only sense in which he may have gave us some of his power, which he didn't, but he humbled himself and restrained himself.
Yes.
Which if we could try to wrap our minds around that, we might appreciate
difficult.
Who we are as Christians. No one has. At the very good point.
Yes. Yes. It's awesome. I'm telling you, just thinking about this is awesome. And sometimes we can be running so fast that we forget about the holiness of God. Let's talk about some other characteristics, and then we're going to come back full circle, because these other characteristics, although they're very important, they don't line up or mesh or equate it. Man, it's hard to say this. Holiness is the pinnacle of all characteristics. Let me say this before I go any further. Satan can imitate every characteristic of God except holiness. Ponder that for a second. Even those who don't follow God can love, right? They can love their own children. They can love their enemies. They can love. But someone who is following the devil can't be holy, because God is separate from holy, separate from sin and wickedness and evil. Let's look at a few. I tell you, these are hard, deep concepts, but I believe we can handle them. Let's look at 1 John 4 and verse number 10. God is love. God is love. Put in your notes if you're taking notes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. Seth, give me Colossians 1, verse 15. Royce, Psalm 18, 30. Lance, Psalm 90, verse 2. And we'll stop there for right now. All right? So in 1 John 4 and verse number 10, look at that text. Here we see something about God. Something about God. This is just one of his characteristics, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also should love one another. Go up to verse number 8. Go up to verse number 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is what? God is what? God is love. Okay? God is love. In Colossians 1, verse 15, Seth, notice, God is spirit right here. I could have given you John 4, 24. That's a simple one. Colossians 1, verse 15. Let's look at that one. All right, so we see that God is love, but also God is spirit. So, hold on, we didn't see anything that said spirit. He's invisible. Every last one of us have a spirit within us. Can't see it. Can't see it whatsoever, but it's in us. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about your human spirit, okay? And so God is spirit. He is invisible. You can put it in your notes, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, all right? Psalm 18 and verse number 30. I believe I gave that to Brother Royce. Here we see that God is perfect. But I'm going to explain that particular word. Psalm 18, verse 30.
God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust
him. All right, so God is perfect. The word perfect literally means he's tried. He's tried. He's tried, which means that he can be trusted because he has been put to the test. He's been put to the test. These are characteristics of Jehovah. Lance, Psalm 90 and verse number 2.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting.
All right, so here we learn that God is eternal. All right, so we've learned already that God is love, God is spirit. God is tried or he's perfect. Now we see that God is eternal. What does that mean that God is eternal? What does that mean? Yes, sir.
He has always existed from the beginning and after the man.
That's right. That's right. Yes. That's right. All right. So there is no time frame when it comes to Jehovah. Okay. There's no time frame. As a matter of fact, everything that God does is what? Outside of time. Everything we do is what? Inside of time. Everything we do. God is eternal. All right, you can put in your notes John 1, 3, 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. It's another reference that we used earlier. All right, Job 7, verse 20. Let me get Larry Wood. Job 7, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse number 20. Daniel, if you don't mind. And Psalm 139, verse 7. Lane, do you mind? And then lastly, Titus 1 and verse 2. Let me have Jaden. Job 7 and verse number 20. That's fine. The idea here is that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. There's nothing that gets beyond God. Not one thought, not one intent, not one action. Nothing gets beyond God. Nothing. Not one good deed, not one evil deed. God sees all. He knows all. All right? Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. Here we're going to see that God is all-powerful. All-powerful. Go ahead.
Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the working in us.
God is all-powerful. Okay? You can put in your notes Genesis 18, verse number 14. It's nothing too hard for God. And that's something that I need to constantly remind myself of. Hopefully you do too. Sometimes we get caught up in our own power. But truth be told, God is the one that has all power. All other power is delegated. All other power is delegated. All right. Psalm 139, verse 7. If you're taking notes, you can put Acts 17, 27, 28 in your notes. Here we find that God is everywhere. I could have used big words, but wanted to break them down so we can all understand. Lane. What do you think the psalmist is saying? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Can I go anywhere that God doesn't know? Can I hide from God? I think at one time it was Jonah that tried to hide from God. You know, the safest place for some people to hide, at least they think, is where? The safest place for people to hide, at least they think, is where? All right, she says in the dark. Anyone else? In their house? Anyone else? In their mind. We love to hide there. In their minds. There's nowhere that we can go where we can hide from God. Lastly, Titus 1, verse number 2, Jaden. Here we see that God is truth. God is truth. Go ahead.
In hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began.
Let's read Hebrews 6, verse 18. Hebrews 6, verse 18. Estes, read that real quick. This is under God is truth. I believe this one deserves to be read. Hebrews 6, 18.
That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us.
Great. So we've learned some things already, been reminded of some things about some of the characteristics of God. All of these characteristics, of course, are aligned with the holiness of God, but God's holiness is pinnacle. That's what makes him who he is. He is separate. He is separate. Okay? Look at Psalm 5. If you want to put in your notes, 1 Peter 1, verse 16, we've already covered that. That's why we're not going to read that again. Is Luke back there? Yeah, he's back there. Let's read Psalm 5, verse 5. Psalm 5, verse 5. Listen to this passage here. All right, read it one more time. All right, now notice the verse there. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. There's this old preacher. He's dead now. And his name is Andrew Connolly. Who ever heard of Andrew Connolly? Andrew Connolly. You're talking about gospel preacher. Man, if you ever want to listen to a lesson on holiness, look that sermon up on holiness. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard to find good preaching like that today. That man was preaching on the holiness of God. God is separate. And those who identify with God must be separate themselves. The holiness of God. So let's look at some passages that, what makes God holy? Put this in your notes if you're taking notes. It is said that trivial views of God and his holiness will produce trivial views of sin and atonement. Trivial views of God and his holiness will produce trivial views of sin and holiness and atonement, which means that if I look at God in a very flippant manner, I will look at sin in the same manner. And so God is holy. Now, what makes God holy? Let's look at Habakkuk, Old Testament passage, chapter 1, verse number 13. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 13. And I'm going to begin here with Royce, if you don't mind. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse number 13. And look at the text and listen to it, what he's saying. What does that say, brother Royce? Yes. Take your time.
You are dearer eyes than the holy one, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than you?
In Habakkuk 1, verse number 13, the beginning of the passage demonstrates to us that God cannot look at what? Evil, wickedness. He can't even look at it. Huh? What does that mean to us? What does that sound like? Okay, but go a little deeper than that. Chad, what you think?
Really hates it. Doesn't want to witness it. Doesn't want to know that it exists, but he really.
Is there a lot of wickedness and evil and sin going on today? Answer is what? Yes, a whole bunch of it. And not just here in America, but where? Everywhere. I wonder what God thinks about all of that. We know how he thinks about it. But when you consider the text, look at James 1, verse number 13. One thing about God, he never uses wickedness to push you away. He never uses wickedness, sin, and evil to push you away. I remember hearing a brother years ago, and he said, because he was in the midst of a sinful situation, I don't know why God put me through this. Don't do that to him. He don't do stuff like that. Okay? And people talk like that. Maybe because they're ignorant of the scriptures. We need to educate them. In James 1 and verse number 13, Seth.
Let no man say
so there's nothing evil that can cause God to be allured, to go astray, to leave his purpose, to forsake who he is. There's nothing evil. And he's not going to use that to push you away. Because really, when you think of evil, it is the drawing away of from who? From God. My brother and then Royce. Yes. Yes, but he was in the flesh. Here we talk about the God that is in heaven. Yes, that's right. Great observation. Great. Yes, sir. Good. Real good. Anyone else? Appreciate that. Anyone else? Talking about the holiness of God, separated from sin, separated from wickedness, separated from evil. Look at 1 John 1, and let's look at verse number 5. 1 John 1 and verse number 5. 1 John 1 and verse number 5. Scott, go ahead and read that, brother. 1 John 1, verse 5. Now, listen to the text. Look at the text and listen closely what John says. He's making a declaration here, okay? What does the Bible say?
This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
You see that? So he makes a declaration that God is light and in him there is no what? Darkness at all. At all. So there's nothing unholy within God. Nothing. Not one scintilla, not one iota, nothing. That's not one aspect of wickedness in God himself. Brian, is that hard to fathom?
Yeah, it is. And then, based upon what Brother Royce and Brother said just a moment ago about Jesus going through temptation in the flesh.
Yes.
Bearing it for us shows us that it's him and him alone that can bear it. But then on the cross, I was thinking about the animal for the Day of Atonement. The animal that bore the sins of the nation for the year, the Day of Atonement. You ever thought about the fact that animal wasn't guilty of any sin?
That's right.
But it was God's means for one year to atone the nation. Jesus becomes the means without having committed any sin, but yet bearing the sin.
That's right.
That's
why, in one sense, Brother Royce, now y'all listen to this point because you're going to have to go back and think about this. In one sense, God turned from Jesus but never left him because he was doing his will. You got to think about that because some brethren think, well, he just left Jesus all by himself. He was doing the will of God. Of course not. He was doing God's will, but he couldn't look upon the aspect of him taking on sin. So you got to make that distinction there. You know, I've heard brethren say, he just left Jesus all by himself on the cross. Don't do that. He was doing God's will. So that means when we're doing God's will and we're under extreme pressure from those on the outside that God is going to leave us when he said, I will never what? We got to be careful how we talk. Okay? Look at Psalm 97, verse 2. So we saw what God, what makes God holy. Why is he separate? Why is he different? You can't look at sin. You can't even be involved in sin. Yet, he come up with this great plan to take care of sin. In Psalm 97, in verse number 2, Larry, let's look at God's throne or God's seat of power rest upon holiness. God's seat of power rests upon holiness. Psalm 97, verse 2.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of Israel.
Righteousness and what? And justice are the foundation of God's throne. Holiness, literally, is the foundation of God's throne. Ryan and I, we talk often, and he always says that God is the what judge? Perfect. He knows all things, right? There's nothing that gets beyond God. Nothing. Nothing. But why? Because his throne sits upon holiness, righteousness, justice. No wonder Paul said by inspiration, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, what? God knows. We have to trust his holiness. He knows exactly what's going on. And sometimes we think people are getting away. They're not getting away. They're not getting away with anything. And that ought to give us great comfort. Sometimes we just need to stop and think about that. Put in your notes Psalm 99 and verse number 9. Psalm 99 and verse number 9. You know what? Let's read that. I think we have a little time. We have a little time. Lance, Psalm 99, verse number 9. I want to show us something here.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
So when we consider the beauty of holiness, worship is actually the product of the holiness of God. Worship is actually the product of the holiness of God. I see why people don't worship God. They don't see him as holy. Or I see why people worship God the way that they want to, because they don't see him as holy, set apart. If anybody knows what they want in worship, it ought to be the one that's asking to be worshiped, the one that is commanding to be worshiped. God is holy. He's set apart. And so when a person says, well, I like instruments of music, I'm going to worship with instruments because I like it. You know what they're actually saying? I don't care what God wants. Do y'all agree with that? Y'all looking at me funny. Right? God is holy. Yes.
And I think some people equate themselves to God saying that what I want, God wants too.
Yes. Apparently, God has to want it because I want it. You know, we think like that too, right? People think like that. It has to be right because I thought about it. No, it doesn't work that way. And so the very fact that a holy God is teaching man how to approach him, worship him, we ought to give him what he desires and deserves. All right. How does God share his holiness? How does God share his holiness? All right. Lane. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is a beautiful reading, friends, a beautiful reading. Kind of want to read it myself. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at verse number 12. And let's read through verse number 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 18.
Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will open and my ears attended to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sacrificed this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel.
All right, good job. Great job. What do we find in those passages that helps us with the holiness of God? What do we find in those passages that helps us with the holiness of God? How does God share his holiness according to those passages? Through what? She said obedience. Yes. Go ahead. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Say again. All right. Through his word. All right. Good. Through his commandments. All right. You see that in verse number 17. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have what? Commanded you. And if you keep my statutes, that goes back to the word of God, and my judgments, that goes back to the word of God. Friends, God shares his holiness with us by giving us his word. We can't know the holiness of God without his word. You won't know the holiness of God without his word. We have to have the word of God in order to even know what holiness is. You can't look at the trees. You can't look at your human body. You can't look at things that you come up with. You can't look at anything that we see and come up with the holiness of God. God says, I got to give it to you from heaven, and I'm going to put it in words. Wow. Friends, do y'all understand that? Or is just me getting happy up here? Yes, sir, Brother Eric. How? How?
Well, he gives us commandments. He gives us the way to him, to worship him, to please him, and that's the best way to
And all of that takes place, friends, through his word. So here's the question. What happens if I begin taking away from the word of God? What happens when I begin adding to the word of God? I actually begin removing the holiness that's within the spoken word itself. See how dangerous it can become? Friends, it's serious business. The holiness of God is very serious business. And the very fact that God has given him the command, and the command is to keep the word. And so when Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Why? The holiness is entrenched, it's encouched in the word of God. Any comments? Yes, sir.
Romans 1:16.
Yes, sir. Right.
In every society that has removed itself from the Bible, the Word of God,
yes.
No matter Josiah or any other story in the Old Testament,
yes.
They become corrupt and miserable people.
Yes.
And look at our own nation. We don't know the Bible.
And Hosea said, my people are destroyed. Why, friends? Because of a lack of knowledge. But here's the problem. I memorized one or two passages, and I consider myself a scholar. Oh, I know the Bible. Friends, holiness comes through the keeping of the Word of God. And anytime you start adding books like the Vedas, the Vedas, you have the manuals, the creeds, you have the catechisms, you have all of these different books that they tout that this is the Word of God. Friends, that's not holiness. As a matter of fact, that's devilish. That's devilish. And so God is holy. And any time that a person got away from the Word of God, they got away from God. Why? Because that's where his holiness is. It's in his word. Look at John 17. Let's look at verse 17 and verse 21. Luke, let's get that. John 17, verse 17 and 21. And then Kipton get Psalm 119, 120. Then you get it. And then Jaden get John 10, verse 10. Bryce, you want to read? Okay. Get John 14, verse number 6. All right? John 17, 17, and 21. How does God share his holiness? What does the Bible say? All right, good. Great job. The sanctification comes through the truth of the Word of God. One cannot be holy without the Word of God. It won't happen. One will not be holy unless they apply the Word of God. And so one can actually read the Word of God, Brother Eric, but if they don't apply it properly, they're not holy. Why? He didn't know what to do good and do it not. What? It's sin. It's transgressing God's law. All right, so we talked about how does God share his holiness. Now, how do we approach this holy God? In Psalm 119, verse 120, it's with great respect. Great respect. It was said in our Lord's Supper, in the prayer, Father, we approach you. Father, we approach you. Three times, Father, we approach you. Let me ask this question before Brother Chad reads this text. What's so great about approaching God? What's so great about that? Brother Royce, what's so great about that? No, sir. What's so great about that? Yeah. What's so great about a... Okay. Good. Anyone else?
What person that is low does not want to be elevated? Whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally, we desire to be lifted up.
Yes.
And approaching God and coming close to God, that lifts us up. That's like the highest place your spirit could be. Emotionally.
That's good. Brother Don, what's so great about approaching God?
It's your turn to have the night of your life, any night of your life, at Choctaw Casinos and Resorts.
Anyone else? What's so great about approaching God? Yes. That's a great passage. Yes. Amen. Brethren, are we hearing this? Are we hearing this? Are we hearing this? It's, again, I'm like, what's so great about it? There's so many benefits to it. And we can be just like Israel if we're not careful, we're just nonchalant about it. Well, show up on Sunday, maybe. Show up on Wednesday, maybe. Say grace for our food. And if we do, Father, thank you. All right. I mean, it happens. I'm trying to hurry up and get to this meal. Father, thank you. Don't even think about it. Nonchalant. Father, thank you for just being who you are. Eric. That's right. That's right. So, how do we approach this holy God? Chad, Psalm 119, 120. My flesh trembles. Those who truly understand God in the Old Testament and New Testament, they came before God with a trembling because they knew. Remember in Exodus 18, when God spoke to Moses and the mountain what? Mountain shook. And remember that Moses was telling the children of Israel that God was going to be meeting with you. And what did the children of Israel tell Moses? No, 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 no. You speak to him, we're what? We're afraid. I believe that's powerful. You want to know why people sin like it's nothing today? They don't tremble at the holiness of God. Well, God doesn't want us to be afraid. That's a lie. He does. And he wants us to love him and respect him. Wow. Look at Jeremiah 10, verse 10. Did I give you one, Bryce? Oh, Jaden? Who did I give Jeremiah 10, 10? Brian, get that one. Jeremiah 10, 10. What did I give you, Jaden? Oh, no, then I gave you the wrong one. I'm sorry. It's Jeremiah 10:10.
But Jehovah is the true God, he is the living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth trembleth, and the nations are not able to abide in his indignation.
I've been thinking about that and how nations today don't even tremble at the even at the name of God, at the word of God. And you consider what people are doing even today. They're not trembling at the holiness of God. You have people who are shaking a fist of rebellion in the face of God. You care less about God. That's right. That's right. John 14:6. And then did I give someone Ephesians 2:18? Jaden, do that one.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Here we see the Christian approaches this holy God through Jesus. God actually gave an exclusive route to the Father. An exclusive route. There's no other way to the Father, friends, except through the one in whom God sent. Not me, not Brian, no one here. God sent Jesus Christ. He's the only way, not through Confucius, not through Mary Baker Eddy, not through Muhammad, not through Allah. There's no other God that the Father sent. The only way to the Father is through the exclusive way of Jesus Christ. You want to know the holiness of God and come face to face with the holiness of God? You have to come through the Christ. You have to come through the Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 18, Jaden.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Through him. God, he made it through him and only through him. Only through him. So this is how we're privileged to see God. Jerry, you want to read? 1 John 3, read 1 through 3. How are we even privileged to see this holy God? How are we even privileged to see him? And so here's the question, can we see him? Can we see him? Matthew 5, verse 8. Estes, did I give you one already? Matthew 5, verse number 8. Go ahead, please. Yes.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know what that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see
him as he is. Wow. And everyone who has this holy man purifies himself. Yeah. The word of God. You want to see God? You want to see the holiness of God? Purify yourself. Nothing dirty is going to see God. Not nothing. Nothing dirty seeing God. Nothing. And the transformation takes place from the inside. What? Out. Any comments? Yes.
That is the only way that we can purify ourselves, set ourselves apart, consecrate ourselves, all of those things that he even physically showed us in the Old Testament, he asked the children of Israel to do when they approached him.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Yes. That's right. That's right. That's a great point. Right. Amen. Amen. Matthew 5:8. Yes.
He's our Father.
Right.
To show us to go back to the right way. And it's not unheard of. There's a kind of father who punishes his child. He takes him to the right way and not the other way. So none of us ever enjoy it when it happens to us if we do something wrong. It is because he loves us.
That's exactly right. And put in your Bibles or your notes, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 7 through 11. 7 through 11. The reason why is because he wants us to be a partaker of his holiness. That's why he corrects us. Estes.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Brethren, that's now. That's now. I can actually see God now. How do I see God? I got to be pure, which means that if I'm not pure in heart, guess what? I don't see God. Now, the carnal mind says, well, I can't feel him. That's wrong. God is what? God is spirit. He's mind. All right. Psalm 24, James, and I didn't even see y'all back there. And then Isaiah 57, Taylor. But Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Now we're going to see who can see God. Who can see God? This is one of those ouch verses. Okay? One of those ouch verses. Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Oh, I wish we had time to talk about those passages. Who can see God? According to these passages, who? The one that has clean hands and a what? And a pure heart. The one who has not lifted up his souls unto what? Idols. The one who has not sworn what? Wow. No wonder Jesus said, few be there that what? Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. Who are those who God is going to dwell among? Who are those who God is going to dwell among? Go ahead. Isaiah 57, 15. The one who is humble and the one who is contrite, the one who repents. Hard for some people to say they're sorry. I'm going to say this with all of the sweetness that I can say in my heart, y'all. Y'all know me, I love you. You will die and go to hell if you don't say I'm sorry. If you're not contrite. And there's a bunch of people that it's just hard for them. I just show I'm sorry. No, you got to say it. Hold on. I got to make this point. Listen to that verse. God is holy. And so he dwells among the contrite and the one who is humble. And we live in a time people are just so arrogant. Right, Brother Royce? Just arrogant. As if God is serving them. No. We serve God. And only the humble will do that. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Put in your notes James 4, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, verse number 5. And those who come out of sin. I knew I had a lot of information. We actually did get through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Yes, ma'am.
When I study with them, and they do become a Christian, or me, is if I know I'm, God, I repent my sins. Because, you know, you go to bed and say, please forgive me for all my sins of the day. But it's different. When you do it, to me, you should do it right then to the Lord, unless it's something that you need to bring before the church.
Well, it's biblical. It's biblical, and because some people will wait. Well, when we think about the holiness of God, it actually positions us to make it right as soon as I come to the knowledge of it. And so God is holy. And that's a concept that's so difficult, but it's to our best interest to be holy even as He is holy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16 through 18. God dwells among those who separate themselves, who come out from among them and be separate. All right. Any final thoughts?